radio. No reason to get excited, y'all. You don't say. As I said, no reason to get excited. We'll get to it in a minute. No reason to get excited. Music that you will not hear anywhere else in North Alabama. Dave Matthews Band, live. Where was that done? Red Rocks, Central Park, somewhere? Cover of All Along the Watchtower. I don't know who did that originally. Bob Dylan, maybe. Jimi Hendrix. One of those awesome, awesome guys. Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP Coleman. It's 4 o'clock. It's Thursday. It's time for Sports Talk Live. This program brought to you each and every week by our friends at People's Bank. If you would like to be part of Sports Talk Live, help sponsor the program, help pay these poor guys a little bit of money, and us too, help keep us on the air. More information than you can fathom is available at live95coleman.com. Go check it out. Click on the support link. All of your questions shall be answered. Your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, Jason, what's
ready
going
to
on,
roll buddy? Today, the second week of college football.
That's right.
Second.
Just getting better and
third
better.
Third week, maybe, for some high schools.
Yeah, and if you're LSU, it's your first week.
That's right. Boy, so, that
running
I've been a fan at LSU last week.
What about that?
Hey, today's show, folks, going to be a little different in that Chris Andrews not going to be able to join us. He is traveling today, so wish him safe travels, Chris. If you were to be listening in on TuneIn, hope you find wherever you're going in a safe manner. At 5 o'clock, Dan Vasta, Dr. Knowledge, will be on, and he's ready to go. Spoke with him
always
today, and he's raring and ready. And that's a word he won't hear
not in Chicago.
In Chicago.
No.
Raring and ready.
No, but we know what it means.
Oh, yeah. Over yonder.
Oh, that's right.
Then at 5:30, as always, Rex Chambers will join us, talk a little fishing. Between now and 4:15, we'll be giving away 3 Auburn Jacksonville State football tickets. If Eddie was in the state, I'm sure he'd be all over
it. Oh, he'd be all over it. Isn't he? Wasn't he going to be back this weekend?
I think he was here last weekend.
Was it last weekend?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He might be back this weekend. I'm not sure
who
and Eddie.
I thought he was going to be here this weekend.
And, Ronnie, just in case Sheila is listening, we want to send out prayers to Sheila and her husband up in Arkansas. I think he was up. I think he drives an 18-wheeler or some kind of truck for a living up there, and started having some health problems and has been admitted to the hospital in Arkansas. So she had drove up yesterday to be with him, and I'm not sure they've even found out what. I wasn't on Facebook this evening, so didn't see. But last heard, they were thinking a possible stroke. So.
But you don't have any no details,
no
the severity or
I'll
anything like that.
I'll check on
wow.
that. But
well, I hope it.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Absolutely, for
and
sure.
Sheila, a dedicated listener, and so wishing
listener and a caller and a predictor and whatever else.
She passed the word on to Cole Springs, our player of the week. She got on and got on
great.
The quarterback club and let all of them know. So appreciate everything she does helping the show.
Christian Crandall.
216
yards.
I was going to say 218, but 216 sounds
okay,
good.
Okay, we'll split the difference. 217.
There you go.
Give him benefit of the doubt for a yard. They probably got a bad spot somewhere.
I'm
so
sure
he earned that yard.
He got beat out of a yard somewhere.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
All right, 403. Let's do this, Ronnie.
All right.
Let's say the second caller, or let's say the first caller. How's that?
First caller,
if you want tickets to the Auburn-Jacksonville State game, be the first caller, 256-737-9505, and just tell us, hey, I'd like to have those tickets.
Hey, it doesn't have to be in those exact words.
That's right.
Just like you
can say, I want them.
I want them air freebies.
That's right.
And that's what they are, I presume.
They're
and
freebies.
Did you tell how many there were?
Yeah,
I didn't hear that.
3 tickets.
Okay, sorry.
And Section 49, row 15, seat 15, it looks like.
Yeah. Is that right behind the big new scoreboard?
15, 13, 14, something like that.
So
yeah, it's out in the parking lot.
Yeah, the number you give him was the park, like your high school, you have a parking slot.
Did I give the phone number out?
You did, but you can give it again.
Let's give it again. 737-9505. Three tickets to the Auburn, Jacksonville State. And I keep wanting to call them Sanford for some reason, but it's Jacksonville State.
Jacksonville State Gamecocks.
Sure enough, have his feelings.
Absolutely. Paul Snow Stadium. How about that?
Mayday.
Jacksonville State.
Who?
It's the name of the stadium.
Paul Snow?
Paul Snow Stadium.
They could come
stadium.
Up with a better name than that for a stadium.
I don't know where they got that name, but it's what it's always, maybe it's a former coach years ago. I don't know.
They may have just made it up.
May have. You're impressed that I knew it.
I am.
You didn't say it, but
I am.
I'll just
I'm
take credit
impressed.
For it. Okay.
Very impressed.
Thank you.
And, Ronnie, I made a joke about watching it from the parking lot, but anybody that goes to college games knows that, hey, you would be shocked to see how many people never go into the stadium. The game's on TV. They
yeah.
got their tailgate set up. They sit out there and watch it in the parking lot.
I guess you have to have your generator and a...
Yeah.
What, is that the way it works? And yeah. a satellite or something?
Yeah. Set up your satellite dish and your generator and get your little tent. Set your TV up and have all your food spread.
That's hardcore fans, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I mean, I love college football and I love Alabama football, but I don't love it enough to go down there.
And see, I've done that. For 2 years I've done that, and it is a job, and it turned into more of a job.
Yeah, but you were going in the stadium watching a game,
oh, yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, I'd go.
You didn't go down there and just...
No, no.
Set everything up and stay in the truck.
If I'm going to do that, I'll stay at home
right.
and watch it.
I mean, but that's some hardcore fans right there. They're a lot more of a fan than I am, I guess.
I got to know a Georgia fan through playing the game of cornhole.
Yeah.
He played in a lot of tournaments, and he and his wife drove down to the Auburn, Georgia game. Didn't have tickets, no interest in going in. They came over and stayed with us till we started going to the game. We started tearing down. They went over to some other friends, Georgia fans,
yeah.
and watched the game there at their tent. And I mean, they drove to Auburn
what
for
about that.
So go figure that out.
More power to them,
that's
I guess.
Right.
That's some people with a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
I guess.
Apparently so.
I could have a lot of time on my hands too, but it'd be because I was sitting in a recliner watching it.
Hey, so. Ronnie, you got this week's high school games. Can you give us a quick rundown?
I'll give you a quick rundown, and then at the end of the, before we go off the air, we'll do our picks. How about that?
Well, I hope I go 6-6.
Well, man. You did last week. You went 6-6, and I was batting .500. So I've got a lot of catching up to do. Okay, this week, Cold Springs will be home against Tanner. Fairview will be on the road against Etowah. Cullen will be on the road at Florence. Hansville will be at home against Vinemont. Good Hope will be at home against Oneonta. Holly Pond will be on the road at Collinsville. West Point will be home against Ardmore. So those are the local games that's going on. Looks like only two county schools are playing one another this week, Jason. That'd be Hansville and Vinemont. So these are region play games. So that's why, some of this is, there's so many of the schools that are different classifications, which puts them in different regions. So, that's the case for everybody else. They're playing region games, and the only region game going on locally is Hansville and Vinemont.
And I really hope the county teams have better luck this week.
They kind of took it on the chin last week, didn't they?
Two county teams playing each other this week.
Yeah.
If we start naming a player of the week, and it turns out like last week, we've got trouble.
Whoever wins that game, we got to find somebody to give it to.
But Coleman back in action this week.
That's so right. We've got a huge game against Florence.
No easy task.
Even though Florence is sitting there at 0-2, it kind of looks like they're maybe not a very good football team, but they lost to one of the top schools in Memphis the first week. I think they got beat 12-10, and then they got beat last week by Muscle Shoals. Muscle Shoals is one of I think they're ranked number 6 in Class 6A, so they're not playing weak competition. They're not like Ohio State. They're stepping up to the plate and playing somebody. Speaking of Ohio State, and I know you don't like Brett Bielema.
No.
But did you like the way, did you hear or see where he basically called Ohio State out to a degree?
I saw a headline on it but didn't look any further into it.
Yeah. So. He was essentially chastising them for their their week, if that's even the right word, schedule, where he mentions they don't play a ranked opponent until next to the last game, and that is against Michigan State. And basically he was saying if they do not run the table, in no way do they deserve to be in the playoff.
And
now he has no,
yeah,
he carries no weight or anything else. You know, it's just his opinion, but unless you're probably an Ohio State fan, you probably feel the same way. Even though they dominated and won the national championship last year, and they thoroughly thrashed Alabama. So I'm not taking anything away from them, you know, from what they accomplished last year. But you know, my question, I guess, to you would be, the way they thrashed Alabama last year and then went on and won the national championship, could that also, in some way, and I'm not making excuses, be attributed to the lack of a difficult schedule that they play?
Oh yeah, their players are not beat up at the end of the year. They're fresh. They've come off probably 10 of the 12 game practice games.
Yeah, and probably their starters, you know, if they've played 12 games, they probably haven't played 6 games total, because they might play a half and that'd be about it.
Yeah.
You know, with the schedule they've got, their most challenging thing is keeping them in shape.
Right.
Because their starter's not going to play enough.
And I actually heard
it's terrible.
Feinbaum on the SEC network defending the Ohio State schedule and saying, you know, that they're going to play their games by the time they get to the end, because he's counting Michigan State and then a playoff game and then a championship game.
Well whoopee. Alabama and Auburn play that essentially every week.
Oh yeah.
After this week.
Put them in the West and let's see
That's exactly right. Put them in the West, if they come out of there with less than two, you know, with less than two losses. I don't think there's any way on earth they'd do that.
No, not a chance. And I am having all kind. I would give a more in-depth rundown of local events here, but my internet is giving us trouble.
So. You're having trouble?
Yeah, I'm not having any luck with the internet. Was working fine, and now all of a sudden, boom, it gone.
Maybe your computer.
It may be.
It should come back up. Disconnect and reconnect.
Oh.
Tech guy's been working on it.
I see. Does that mean they're both down?
They weren't working the moment you went on the air, and then I think one of you must have dissed the wrong team too much, because it all went down at the same time.
Okay.
But it's back up now. So.
All right.
We'll give it a try. But anyway.
Hey, let's get some takers on these tickets. We've got to get somebody to take these tickets.
Off,
I know, it's
hands.
Jacksonville State.
And Auburn.
But it's still free tickets.
That's right.
Now, come on, Ronnie. Auburn.
Well, I mean,
anybody wants to see Auburn.
Jacksonville State and Auburn. Anybody wants to see Auburn?
Boy,
Does anybody want to see Auburn after the last week?
Yeah,
you know what
I do.
You know what they want to see? They want to see. They want to see Jeremy Johnson play better. That's what they want to see.
You said that right. You said that right.
Hey,
here's something to entertain us.
Yeah.
While we're killing time, I was glancing through, looking at some stuff today, ran across the top 10 highest-paid athletes. We talk about this on a regular basis, how much money athletes are making now. A lot of these, you're probably like me and never heard of them when it gets into soccer. And I'll go ahead and tell you number 3 and 4 are soccer players.
Okay, which means we'll have no clue.
Right. But number 10, Kobe Bryant, $49 million per year.
Per year.
At number 10. this actually went through the top 50, but I'm not going to bore everybody with all 50. Tiger Woods, still at number 9. As bad as Tiger Woods has played.
Has played in the last recent years.
But here's the kicker. Salary, $600,000. Endorsements, $50 million. For a total of $50.6 million.
$50 million in endorsements.
Yeah.
And I don't even
know
what
to say. Lost a lot of his endorsements.
Oh, yes. Lost a lot of them. Who cares?
Number 8, Phil Mickelson. He gets a $2.8 million salary. Endorsements, $48 million for $50.8 million. Kevin Durant. At number 7, $19.1 million salary, $35 in endorsements for $54 million. LeBron James, number 6, a salary of $20.8 million, endorsements of $44 million. And here's a man I know you follow close, yeah. Roger Federer.
Yeah, tennis player.
Salary of $9 million. Endorsements, $58 million.
I would have never guessed that, though. What number is old Roger Federer?
Number 5.
Okay.
And then we have Lionel...
Richie.
Yeah, Lionel Met...
From the Commodores.
Messiah or something. Soccer player.
Oh.
Somebody knows who I'm talking about. Salary, $51.8 million. Endorsements, $22 million. $73.8
wow.
million dollars to
per year.
Yeah, per
year.
Year. Number 3 is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Just say it fast and
yeah,
with
Cristiano
confidence.
Ronaldo.
There you go. Nobody knows the difference.
$52.6 million salary, $27 million in endorsements for $79.6 million. And then...
Just barely getting by.
You're going to have to pronounce this last name, Money. Boxer Manny...
Pacquiao.
Yep. Get this. Now, hold on to your underwear when I call this out.
Is he number 1?
He's number 2.
Oh.
Salary, $148 million. Endorsements, $12 million. For
wow.
a total of $160 million.
Is Pacquiao the one of the big, huge fight they have with Floyd?
Yep, that's it.
Was it Mayweather? That's probably where that hundred and something million comes in from. So that makes Floyd.
And he's not even close to number 1.
So Floyd Mayweather would be number 1.
Floyd Mayweather, number 1. And not only hold on to your underwear, hold on to your T-shirt. Floyd only made. Me and Floyd's on first name basis.
Yeah, I got you. You wish you were.
Floyd, salary, $285 million.
I wonder if that's what he got off that one fight.
I think he got about $200 million off that
That's
one
what I thought.
Endorsements, $15 million for a total this year, $300 million.
Unbelievable.
A third of a billion dollars. And he probably
for one
twice.
Fight,
yeah,
for a fight that lasted went the distance.
Yeah,
didn't it
went the distance.
Was that 12 rounds?
Yeah.
Okay, what's 12 times 3? 36. 36 actual minutes of fighting.
$300 million.
So he got,
and he does have another fight coming up.
He got close to $1 million a minute. No, he got over that.
Yeah, he got over that, way over that. He got about $8 million a minute.
I was counting the, with the fight, 36 minutes?
$300 million.
Okay.
Sorry. $10 million would be $360 million, so about $7
million. $7 million per minute.
Per minute.
For a fight.
Hey, we've got Sheila on the line, Ronnie. Let's check in with Sheila, get an update. Hey, Sheila, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm good. We got your show for just a few seconds, and it went out. We can't get it back.
Oh, doggone. Well, we do have our first caller from Arkansas, though.
Yeah, exactly.
The internet went down about 2 minutes after they went on the air, but we'll work on it.
Hey, Sheila, give us an update on how things stand and how are things going.
We've had a bunch of tests today, so we're waiting on those results. The neurosurgeon's supposed to be in a couple hours, and they're saying it's one of three kinds of strokes, you know, that it's hard to get all that terminology
right.
But it's just left side right now mainly, so we're just waiting.
Now, I know his name, Jeffrey, but what is his... Everybody knows him by a
Everybody
nickname.
Everybody calls him Wolf.
Wolf, okay. I knew there was a nickname, but I couldn't remember what it was.
That's his, you know, handle. He was he was picking up a load in Arkansas and got sick there, and they got him to the hospital. So we're in Arkansas.
Oh, man, I know you wish you were at home closer and had everybody around you. Did somebody make the trip with you, or you make it by yourself?
I made it by myself. I was going to fly, and then we said, well, we might need a car, so... I just decided to make it by myself, and I don't usually travel far by myself, but I did pretty good.
How long did it take you to drive it?
It said 5 hours and something, but it took me a little longer because I come through a bunch of rainstorms, and so about 6.5 hours, something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
So, but I just wanted to check in with y'all and tell you we wish we'll listen to it. Like maybe we can get the show on demand after.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it'll be, Jay will get it up. Might give you something to do tonight. So.
Well, he's still trying to get it up on his phone. It was just so plain, I thought, I'm finally going to get to listen to it plain.
Yeah.
But then it just went off.
Wow.
So I did run into the Arkansas Razorbacks in the
Oh, bless your heart.
I'm curious.
If you see my main buddy, Mr. Brad, up there, please.
Get his autograph.
Yeah.
They were nice folks, though.
Yeah. Now, most of them are. He's an exception, I guess.
Well, Cold Springs has got Tanner tomorrow night. So.
Yeah, they got their hands full.
That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I've heard people say that somebody told me it was the best thing that ever has, and if it is, I'm thinking, eh.
Oh.
But you know what? We're tough. We can do it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Crazier things have happened.
Huh?
I said, crazier things have happened.
That's true. And that, like I say, they play hard, though.
So. Yeah.
We've got some good little players, but I just wanted to check in with y'all. And,
well, I'm glad you did. Glad you made it safe, and I wish you the best. And I know Ronnie does, too, and we appreciate
it. I wish I could listen to y'all, but maybe we can get it later. We're still trying. I come on. Never
know. Oh, yeah. Keep trying. And, again, thanks for the support, and wish you the best.
Thank y'all.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to
you. Be safe, Sheila.
Bye.
All right.
Sweet lady.
Yes, she is. 4:20 means it's time for our first break. We'll be right back. We're going to see if we can track down Floyd Mayweather and borrow a few bucks from him. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Thursday edition.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed, and the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio. Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Hey, Coleman. Live 95's first birthday bash back in April with our Battle of the Bands event was so successful, we've teamed up with the Coleman County Fair to do it again. Come join Live 95 and the Coleman Lions Club in the entertainment tent at the Coleman County Fair on Saturday, September 26th. As usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate. We don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Coleman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today and stay tuned for more information on the Live 95 Battle of the Bands rematch. Sponsored by the Coleman County Fair. live in the entertainment tent on Saturday, September 26th. In the meantime, tune in to Live 95 on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. to hear each band's music set from our event in May. We'll do one set a week leading up to the event. Thanks for listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
All right, back with you, Sports Talk Live, and we're having some technical difficulties due to a storm that come through sometime back that knocked the phone systems out, so just bear with us. Of course, if you're one of the ones affected by this, you're not here.
You're not here, so it really won't make any difference.
All right, we've got Cindy on the line. Cindy, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, Cindy, I heard that.
Roll Eagle.
Hey, I want those Auburn tickets, but I want to donate them to Sheila.
Okay. All right. Now, Sheila, you know Sheila's in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, if her and her husband could go, she'd be glad for some of them grandkids to go.
Yeah, that's what Ryan and I were talking about. Probably some of the family would go, Brett, some of them probably use them. So, all right, Cindy, they are yours, and good thought. And I'm sure Sheila will appreciate it. I don't know if she's been able to get the signal back yet, but you can contact her and let her know.
Oh, okay, and I'll just let her get with you about picking them up.
All right. You know the drill on that. You picked up moolah plenty of times. So.
I
will have them at the office in the morning. If you need them before that, I could probably meet you or something, but I'll get to the office about 5 a.m.
Somebody
can see
the face.
Okay, all right, that'll be fine.
Thanks, Roll Tide.
All right, War Eagle.
Roll Tide.
Bye.
All right, tickets are now gone, and Ronnie, not that we can't get different people to take Auburn tickets, but
The
same family went last time, but a different winner.
Right.
Sheila didn't win them. Somebody else won them, but it's the same group that went. So.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
War Eagle.
Whatever, you know, free tickets are just
that. Right.
They're free tickets, you know.
That's right.
And hope they get to go.
A lot of things going on this weekend. Some other people were interested in the tickets and worked out they couldn't go. And I'm going to enjoy the game in front of the big screen. And, boy, do I have a story to tell you during the break.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. All right. Hey, Jason, you know, we were talking about Ohio State there just a few minutes ago. Let me run through something real quick right here. This is something that I've read, and people are kind of jumping on this you know, bandwagon a little bit about Ohio State's schedule or the lack of difficulty of the schedule, whatever. And this is all certainly all hypothetical, but said, and see if you agree with it, said, if Ohio State played in the SEC and if they had Alabama schedule, that would give Ohio State 1.3. I don't know where they come up with the .3, but 1.3 extra losses. If they had Georgia schedule, Ohio State would have one extra loss. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be. I think that's being pretty lenient.
Oh yeah.
If they had Alabama schedule, they would only lose 1.3 more games.
Right.
I tend to believe it's going to be more than that, just because of the difficulty. You know, of Alabama schedule, and not just Alabama schedule, but anybody in the SEC West schedule.
Right. If you're in the West, you're going to have one of the more difficult schedules in the nation.
No matter who else you play, you know.
Yeah, if you play
if you play junior colleges, you'd still have a difficult schedule. But you know, I don't think it's by any random act that, as we talked on Tuesday, and we won't, you know. Beat that horse, but the SEC has 10 teams ranked in the AP Top 25. It's never happened before in the history of the AP poll. 10 teams out of that one conference in the Top 25.
And, Ronnie, I want to play devil's advocate. Everybody gets a good laugh when we get in a good debate, so I want to start a good debate on this. And I know
so this is going to be an argument.
Yeah, okay. Probably before it's over with.
Well, okay.
I know Alabama's schedule is tough.
Yeah.
But how do they keep getting named the number one toughest schedule in the nation? Now, what makes their schedule so much more difficult than Auburn's? And I think I know the answer to that, but I want to see what you think.
Well, I think we would have to, in fairness, would have to look at the two schedules, but I don't I don't have them pulled up now. We know all their West opponents are all the same.
Right. And so let's go out of conference.
So you can't.
Let's go to the East first.
Yeah.
Alabama plays Georgia. Auburn plays Georgia.
There's your kicker. There's a kicker, Georgia.
Right.
But Auburn plays it too.
But okay. Alabama plays at Georgia.
Right.
Auburn plays at home.
And you have that has to certainly play right. in. Okay.
Okay. Alabama plays Tennessee. Auburn plays Kentucky. Advantage Alabama there.
No question.
Well, we think there's no question.
Tennessee is a much better football team than Kentucky.
Boy, they didn't look too good for three quarters.
No, they didn't. No, but they should be. You know, we're just basing all this shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Okay.
So it's more difficult as we so far because they're playing Georgia on the road and they're playing Tennessee and Auburn's playing Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Okay.
All right. Out of conference. Alabama opened up, of course, with Wisconsin.
Good
Auburn
ball club.
Played Louisville. I don't know.
I think Wisconsin's a better football team than Louisville.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I think Louisville may win 9 games this year.
And Louisville's in what conference?
ACC.
Okay. Will Louisville be favored in the rest of their schedule?
I would say probably half.
Half. Okay. Wisconsin should be favored in every game the rest of the way.
But that...
I know, because the schedule is what it is. That's okay. Just my take. I think Louisville's better than, and I'm not taking anything away from, I'm sorry, I think Wisconsin's better than Louisville. Are they close? I think they are.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think
but I'm going to give the advantage there.
And the other games, let's just throw them out the window.
Well, you can't throw Middle Tennessee out the window in Jacksonville, because there's no comparison between Middle Tennessee. That's a Conference USA team.
Ronnie, come on now.
Jacksonville State's not even
that. Come on now.
Jacksonville right. State's not an FBS.
All right, let's look further.
You, there's no way to compare Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee scored 70 points last week. Middle Tennessee is in a...
Ronnie.
Middle Tennessee is in Conference USA.
Tanner,
that's all I need
Tanner
to say.
Tanner High School will probably score 70 at some
well,
point.
Well, they might.
But you can't use that.
Yeah, I can with Jacksonville. I love Jacksonville State. Week. That's where I went. But I'm saying Middle Tennessee. If we ranked them on a scale of 1 to 10, and if we said Middle Tennessee is a 5, then we'd have to say Jacksonville State is about a 9.
But I'm saying throw all those games out the window because there is absolutely
you can't throw
no
that.
Chance
can't.
That any of those teams are going
to
be.
Okay, who has a better chance to get beat, Alabama or Auburn this week?
I don't know.
Oh yes, you.
No,
do.
I don't.
String them back up.
There is no chance that Alabama loses this week.
There's a better chance Alabama loses to Middle Tennessee than Auburn losing to Jacksonville State.
Did you see Auburn play last
week?
Yeah,
yeah. But and I'm not throwing off on Jacksonville State. Jacksonville is a good football team. They're an FCS football team. There's a huge difference in those two.
But what my point is, Ronnie, stay with me.
I'm with you.
That you can't use those games because they're meaningless.
No. What do you mean they're meaningless? They're going to have to play them.
When the committee gets together, do you think anybody in their right mind is going to be looking down that schedule and say,
okay,
Alabama pulled off a big win against Middle Tennessee?
Okay, let's play.
Auburn was playing Middle Tennessee.
I'm playing
would be throwing off on Middle Tennessee.
No. I would be saying what I'm saying now. Okay, let me play devil's advocate. Alabama and Auburn, which it's impossible, they are tied. They are head-to-head. One of the two of them is going to the 14 playoff. All things being equal, they looked at that one game. No, they're not going to. They looked at one game, and for Alabama, it was...
Alabama gets the advantage.
Why?
Because of just what you said.
Exactly right. It's a better football
right.
team than Jacksonville.
But you throw those games out the window because they don't mean anything. You're not going to get any points for beating either one of those teams.
No, but who has the better chance to get beat this week?
I don't know.
Jason.
Auburn looked pretty bad, right?
Jason, I'm going to ask you that one more time.
Idaho. Auburn plays Idaho. Now, who's Alabama's other patsy? And Auburn plays
Do they
San
play
Jose
Louisiana?
State.
Yeah.
Right.
They play Alabama plays Louisiana Lafayette,
and Charleston Southern. That's always a good
now. A Charleston Southern would be like a Jacksonville State.
All right, so let's throw Jacksonville State and Charleston Southern out the window.
Right.
So we can not talk about them anymore.
Okay, I agree with that.
So now we're down to San Jose State. Louisiana Monroe.
San Jose State, Louisiana Monroe.
Middle Tennessee. And Auburn's the other one is Idaho.
Okay.
All right, Alabama's got two patsies. We throw Jacksonville State and Charleston Southern out the window.
Yeah.
Alabama's got Middle Tennessee and Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah.
Auburn has San Jose and Idaho. So I would say Idaho would be the equal to Middle Tennessee.
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right, and Louisiana Monroe and San Jose State would be about the same.
Probably a wash.
So
there.
I agree. All those are out the window now.
I agree.
All right. So it boils down to
where you're
Alabama
playing people.
Plays Georgia.
That's right.
And probably Tennessee a little stronger than Kentucky.
Well, there's no question that Tennessee
is
stronger.
Well, we don't know that there's no question. They will play.
Well.
And what are you going to say if Kentucky beats Tennessee?
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Will that make Auburn schedule the toughest in the nation?
Maybe. Where is Auburn ranked schedule-wise?
They're in the top 10.
Okay.
But I'm not sure where they're at.
It comes down to where you're playing your opponents.
Yeah.
Either home or road.
And Alabama does go to Auburn. We didn't even think about that.
Exactly.
Okay. I'll give it
see,
to you.
See, all right.
All right, 435. That didn't cost you any extra, folks. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live Thursday afternoon. Stay with us.
Go Gamecocks. How about that?
If you haven't visited Scissors Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Here are a few things happening down at Wall Estate that we think you should be aware of. The Wall Estate Future Foundation Student Investment Luncheon is Wednesday, October the 28th. This is the college's largest fundraiser of the year, and the proceeds go to student scholarships. For more information, visit wsccfuturefoundation.org. If you or a family member has an ACT test coming up, check out Wall Estate's ACT prep workshops. The English and Reading Sections workshop will take place Tuesday, October the 6th from 4:30 until 7, and the Math and Science workshops will take place Thursday, October the 15th from 4:30 until 8. For more information on the Wall Estate Alumni Association, including benefits and how to become a member, visit wsccalumni.org. Congratulations to Wall Estate. This year, Wall Estate celebrates 50 years of being part of our community.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today, but this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
.439 on a sunny Thursday afternoon. Didn't start out sunny.
No, it didn't.
I thought we were going to have a rainy day, but
turned out to be a.
Oh man,
nice
have you
day.
Seen the weather this weekend?
Yes.
Boy, if that
and
don't
next
make
week
you
too,
ready
boy,
for fall.
Fall is in the air. It's supposed to be down in the, I think, in the low 50s, maybe part of the time. And
one of my favorite. That makes me think of one of my favorite events. Is the Coleman County Fair be rolling
man,
in?
Man, I can't wait.
Oh, I can't. I'll be there every night.
Give me a candied apple. Pork, pork skins, man.
Some cotton candy.
Cotton candy. Mm.
I think we got it set up. We're all going to be broadcasting live there a couple
so
of nights.
So we will be there a couple of nights.
I was eventually going to get around to telling you that.
Yeah, thanks for springing that on us there, Jay.
So, do we get cotton candy and a candied apple for doing
that's right.
It?
We'll probably make that happen.
Something out. Man, I can't wait.
You get me a high on cotton candy?
Well, you talk about that candy apple jerking some crayons off your teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's encouraging.
That'll do it. So, but hey, Jason, I got here's a couple. Here's a few headlines if I can interrupt you right quick. After week one, which this means absolutely nothing, the three main players that they're talking about are touting the Heisman around again. This
got to be Jeremy
one.
Johnson after.
He's the number one. He's in the top of the list. He fell off the list as quick as he got on it. But the three that that have been mentioned, two from the SEC, Derrick Henry from Alabama, and Chubb from Georgia, and Braxton Miller from Ohio State. So that means nothing. That's just free for you.
And Jason's opinion, everybody else can hang it up. Forget the Heisman. The Heisman will go to Ohio State in some form or fashion.
Well,
now, who they're going to give it to? I don't know.
I don't know either. But it makes it much simpler. Give credit where credit's due. Does Ohio State have a good football team? Absolutely. They won a national championship last year. We all got to give credit. Convincingly. We all got to give credit where credit's due. However, it would be less convincing if they were, if they had a loss or two on their schedule. It's going to be hard not to give it to somebody from Ohio State if they run the table again. And I don't see any way possible until next to the last game if they don't run the table.
Here's the funny thing. The starting quarterback at Ohio State that won the national championship would have set the bench and probably nothing ever heard of him.
That's right.
Nobody would have ever heard that name.
Cardale Jones.
If it hadn't have been for the injuries.
To Braxton Miller.
Yeah,
JT
two
Barrett.
Quarterbacks go out.
Absolutely.
And he gets a chance.
Absolutely. Now, and again, we don't like to, but we got to give Urban Meyer credit where credit's due. How many teams in college football have three quarterbacks of that caliber?
And how many coaches could hang on to all
could
three
keep
of those quarterbacks?
Them. Absolutely. So, whether you like him, dislike him, you got to give credit where credit's due.
Which brings me to another point, and you're really not going to like this one. I mean, this one's going to hurt you deep.
You've
probably seen it.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure it has something to do with comparing Urban Meyer and Nick Saban.
Yeah, Urban Meyer has now, in a lot of circles, now moved up to the number one coach in the nation.
Is that right? Based on what?
I don't know what they based it on.
Based on the fact that he won a national championship last year?
I can pull it up and show it to you.
Nah, it made me want to throw up.
I think one of them was ESPN, and I think the other may have been Sports Illustrated, but I don't know. It was online.
How can you name as best? Jason, let's be real. You and I could go coach Ohio State, and we might lose one game.
Fox Sports.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We could coach them. And they would lose maybe one game.
They might not lose any.
Might not. We might get Michigan State assistants. That's exactly right. All we'd have to do is be able to count to about 100, because then you just count heads when you get on the plane and make sure they're all there.
That's right.
Now,
but he done it in Florida too. Florida in shambles when Urban Meyer went in.
And what did he leave them in?
Shambles.
Exactly. Speaking of that, let's move on here, Jason. After week one, we hear a lot of talk about the Power Five conferences. And if somebody doesn't know what those Power Five conferences are, it's the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the Pac-12. Those are the five power conferences. Now, after week one, it's not a surprise of which conference sits on the top, SEC. The SEC in week one went 12-1. The only loss was Vandy, getting beat by Western Kentucky. They won. All the teams combined average winning by 25.1 points per game. So the SEC ranks number one power conference week one. The ACC is number two. They were 10-4. They won their games average of 22.5 points a game. Big 12, 8-2. They won by an average of 16.8. The Big Ten went 8-6, for and won an average margin of victory 8.9 points. And the Pac-12 went 7-5. An average margin of victory is 11 points. So it, right off the bat, it's not even close. After week one, the SEC was the number one power conference. Now, where that's going to change is when the SEC starts playing one another.
Right.
You know, so.
And that's not far away. We got a good game this weekend, LSU, Mississippi State. LSU a 4.5 point favorite.
Absolutely, so, that's going to tell us a
lot about the West, and because Auburn will be playing LSU, I think the week after. So
that's right. That's that's one of those key games. I think in week two, LSU, Mississippi State. LSU's ranked 14. Mississippi State's ranked 25th. Some other key games are not in. They're not necessarily conference games, Jason, but this week. But you got number 7. This will be a good one to watch. Number 7, Oregon. They're going to be on the road at number 5, Michigan State. That'd be a good game to watch.
That right is. And an interesting note in that one, the Ducks will be or is an underdog for the first time, I think, in 44, 45 games,
right,
somewhere in there.
Right.
Had the second longest streak behind Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama's sitting at 69, I think, according to Dr. Knowledge.
That's right. That's right. 69 straight games they've been favored.
I sent him a few topics, what we'd be talking about, and I put in there one of the buy, sell, and hold, and that Alabama streak was at 64, and he sent me a text pretty quickly correcting me that Alabama was at 69.
So. Oh, man. There you are, the book of knowledge. Hey, one other big game, Jason, that's taking place this week. You got number 9, Oklahoma. At number 23, Tennessee. So,
Who do you like in that
one? I'm going Tennessee.
I'm going Oklahoma.
Okay. Well, it won't hurt you to be wrong.
After Tennessee the first week, I'm not sold on them as much as I was.
Yeah. But I just think it's going to be a really good year for Tennessee. I hope it's not so good that they beat Alabama.
I hope it is.
But of course you do.
I'll be Rocky Top.
But if they beat Oklahoma. If Tennessee beats Oklahoma, then do you give a little bit more love to Alabama with their schedule?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
So.
And I already give Alabama
you
edge over Auburn.
Yeah, so. You did. But
see, I'm fair, Ronnie. I'm not like you. I'm fair.
I'm fair. I would do the same
You're
thing.
Fair as long as it's
I would
Alabama's
do the same
advantage.
Thing if it was reversed. If Alabama had Auburn's schedule and Auburn had Alabama's, I'd say the same thing you did.
You tried to argue with me last year that Alabama's schedule was as tough as Auburn's.
Was it?
Well, of course not.
No, I know it wasn't.
Okay, now a year later, you finally come clean.
Okay, I confess my sins. I feel better. Those are the three key games that's taking place this week. Really interested in the Oregon and the Michigan State. Michigan State, tremendous, tremendous rush defense. Probably after week one, they're sitting there, I know, at number one in run defense. And that's a contrast to Oregon. Oregon ran the football for well over 450 yards. So you talk about strength against strength. Michigan State's run defense, Oregon's ability to run the ball. So that'll be very, very interesting to see how that game turns out.
Yeah, a couple of good games, but with the exception of a couple – like you said, that game, the Tennessee-Oklahoma game, and then Mississippi State-LSU, and that's going to be about it as far as any interest.
Yeah, it's a pretty lean week right here, right off the bat. But hey, next week, at least for Alabama, things pick up.
Yeah, it picks up.
They've got Ole Miss at home, and they should be they should be ready to go against Ole Miss because Ole Miss got them last year, so... I think it's going to be ugly for the Rebels. I'll just say that right off.
Now, the Rebels scored 76.
I don't care if they scored 176. It's going to get ugly.
Hey, while we've got about 10 minutes, or 5 minutes, it looks like, we've got 1 minute. Might be 4:55. Whatever Jay tells us. Since Chris is not joining us, let's recap what Chris done last week, and Chris will be back with us next week.
So you have that.
Chris went 3 of 4 last week on the picks that he gave out. So 75%. He hit Western Michigan, playing Michigan State, took Western Michigan plus 17, I think. He took, I'm going to get lost now. I do know that he lost the Idaho game. That was the one he missed, Idaho. And
did he pick the wrong team or he just missed on the points?
No, the wrong team, wrong points. Team. I mean,
the whole shebang.
Yeah.
He got, yeah, okay.
But the others, he won. So 75%, we're going to keep up with it, see how he does on the year. Off to a lot better start than I started.
75% after week one.
So in his honor, Ronnie, let's give out our picks for the week with the point spread and see how we do.
All right.
Let's each take three games, any three of your choice. You pick the games.
Oh.
I'm going to say, okay, here's my three picks.
You're springing that on me. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I'm throwing you a curve.
I know.
I'm going to take Notre Dame. This is my lock of the week.
All right.
Notre Dame minus 11.5 playing Virginia. So I'm taking the Irish, giving up the 11.5.
Okay. Which means Virginia would have to win by...
Notre Dame would have to win,
I'm sorry, by 12 points. Right.
Right.
Okay.
I am taking Georgia giving up 20 against Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Georgia minus 20. Now, that line is 20.5, 21. You have to buy a half point to get it down to 20.
So. Okay.
And where is my other pick? I know what it is. I am taking Clemson minus 16.5 over Appalachian State.
Say that one again.
Clemson. Minus 16.5 over Appalachian State.
Okay. There you.
That's the lock of the week.
Put your money on it for entertainment purposes only.
That's right. Especially the Irish.
You know why I'm going to go a step further? I'm going to add one to it. You're going to fall out. Take Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee plus the points.
That's right.
All right, 4:51. The music's playing. Means it's time for a break. We'll be right back. And stay with us. Dr. Knowledge coming up in about 9 minutes. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. The House of Representatives narrowly approves a cigarette tax increase in a 52-46 vote. 25 cents tax will be added per pack of cigarettes. It would raise $66 million annually. Republican Representative Connie Rowe of Jasper says the cigarette tax is part of a solution to keep state services operating. The general fund budget facing a projected $200 million shortfall. Preliminary autopsy results show a 65-year-old killed in Autauga County was mauled to death by her own dogs. Barbara McCormick was found in her yard. Investigators say she had apparently been feeding the dogs just prior to being attacked. Sheriff's office says the large dogs may have gotten into a fight and McCormick tried to intervene or was knocked down. A 13-year-old boy and his dad save a life. A.J. Olive and his dad swimming in the Cahaba River in Bibb County when they saw a man struggling to stay above water as a current was sweeping him away. A.J. used life-saving skills learned in the Boy Scouts to get the man to shore. He and his dad administered CPR until medics arrived. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A House committee holds a hearing on the minimum wage increase in Birmingham. Mountain Brook Representative David Faulkner sponsoring a bill that would block local cities and counties from setting their own minimum wage. Faulkner says the choice by Birmingham to raise the minimum wage will hurt businesses with multiple locations, as business owners would have to pay different rates in different municipalities. In Dadeville, on the heels of an ordinance proposed on banning saggy pants, the city council is considering an ordinance to ban short skirts and mini skirts. Dadeville City Councilwoman Stephanie Kelly tells AL.com, it shouldn't be just men who are singled out on their attire. In Mobile County, work on the I-10 widening project continues. Geotechnical drilling underway to determine a type of bridge foundation needed there, and officials also studying the impact of storm surge on Mobile Bay. Tomorrow, 9/11, cities across Alabama will be remembering the 14th anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks on the U.S. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. We'll be right back. In sports, former Alabama defensive lineman Marcell Dareus signing a long-term deal with the Buffalo Bills. ESPN reporting it's a six-year and $108 million deal with $60 million guaranteed, always the most important number when these big deals are announced. And the 2015 NFL regular season kicks off tonight as the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots host the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pats will have star quarterback Tom Brady under center after his four-game Deflategate suspension was vacated by a federal judge. Tim Tebow returning to the broadcast booth. The former Florida quarterback is going back to the SEC Network. Tebow's first assignment, pregame show before Saturday's Georgia-Vandy game. Philadelphia Eagles cutting Tebow as he tried to make an NFL comeback. The U.S. women's soccer team looking for an opponent now that the Australian team bowed out of the match set for Legion Field in Birmingham. The Australian players on a strike claiming they haven't been paid in a couple of months. Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
Money, money.
Sweet sound of money.
The old spotted cow has escaped. Right. People's Bank has been kind enough to offer a $50 reward to anybody that can tell us where moolah be hidden. So.
Hey, speaking of the old spotted cow and moolah, I reckon that's one that ate one of my buddies' bill phone.
It may have been moolah.
It may have been the People's Bank moolah.
Yeah, that may be worth the $50 coming from.
That's exactly right. That old cow or cows ate eight $100 bills out of his wallet.
That'd be some good steaks over there.
I'd be having some steaks, too.
Oh, yeah, I would, too. Thanks again to People's Bank making this segment of the show possible, and so many other things throughout the community and our county that People's Bank a big part of.
Absolutely.
Ronnie, catch us up to speed on the clues time.
We've given four clues so far, Jason. I'll call those four out, then you can add one, and then we're probably time for a break and get Dan, right?
That's
all
it.
Right. First clue that you gave was if you're looking for, you can look for moolah while you're fishing. Clue number one. Clue number two, if you've ever eaten fried chicken, you might be close to moolah. Clue number three, if you're looking for moolah, try to follow an 18-wheeler. And clue number four, if you're looking for moolah, try to find a bunch of chicken feathers.
That is
clue number four, and Jason has clue number five.
And Ronnie is going to get me tickled before I give clue number five, but I think that it's going to be solved today, Ronnie.
Go ahead.
All right. If you're looking for moolah, you might see a lot of Hispanics. All right. That's just the way it is.
I agree.
If you're looking for moolah, you might see a lot of Hispanics. So, put that with the other clues that Ronnie just gave it, and if you can't figure it out, Cindy knows it.
I know she does. I know she knows it.
Cindy, you don't have to call. Shoot me a text and let me know if you know this or not. So,
We've got about 2 minutes for people to call in before we call.
Yeah. The number 737-9505. You got about 2 minutes, and then we'll be tied up for a big part of the show.
Till about 5:30.
Yeah, and then Rex
will be on. So if you can't call in 2 minutes, you can probably catch us at about 5:45.
Right.
To try to win $50, and no, we're not doubling it.
Come on, Ronnie.
No. Mm-mm. Over with that.
Ronnie learned a lesson on that, same way I did last season.
So there you got about 2 minutes or at 5:45.
And the break music playing. You still got time to call. We're going to a break, and then we'll be calling Dan Vasta, Campus Insider out of Chicago, and Dan is ready to roll. All right, we'll be right back with Dan Vasta, Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Thursday afternoon.
Here are a few things happening down at Wallace State that we think you should be aware of. The Wallace State Future Foundation Student Investment Luncheon is Wednesday, October the 28th. This is the college's largest fundraiser of the year, and the proceeds go to student scholarships. For more information, visit wsccfuturefoundation.org. If you or a family member has an ACT test coming up, check out Wallace State's ACT Prep Workshops. The English and Reading Sections Workshop will take place Tuesday, October the 6th, from 4:30 until 7, and the Math and Science Workshops will take place Thursday, October the 15th, from 4:30 until 8. For more information on the Wallace State Alumni Association, including benefits and how to become a member, visit wsccalumni.org. Congratulations to Wallace State. This year, Wallace State celebrates 50 years of being part of our community.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Back with you, Sports Talk Live, 5 o'clock and right on the dot, Dan Vasta, Campus Insider. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I can't believe we're already going to week two, and hopefully the season doesn't go by too quick, but so far so good.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Football's finally here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Goes by in a hurry. Dan, week one is in the history books, as you said. For the most part, things went pretty much as we expected. But what was your favorite game of the week?
Yeah, I think the big game that maybe caught some people by surprise, maybe not the final play, maybe could be a little preview, but I think the BYU-Nebraska game.
Yeah, absolutely.
BYU could pull it off, but nobody really had it coming down to a Hail Mary with BYU completing it. Of course, Taysom Hill, their star quarterback's out for the season with a foot injury. But to have their stud backup, highly touted Tanner Mangum, and Mangum was a highly touted high school quarterback and had quick success in those three drives. One was a three and out, one was a field goal, and of course one was maybe the top play of not just the opening weekend, but you got to go back several weeks if you include last year where we had quite a few Hail Marys. But this one, I think, for me, was better than all the Hail Marys we saw last year. Simply for the reason of just what BYU went through. You saw the post-game celebration. Today it was came out that obviously very emotional for to lose their quarterback, Taysom Hill, who's been a stud for the Cougars despite having a few injuries in his career. But it was a tough loss to the Big Ten that day, Nebraska just being one of them. But that was a great back-and-forth affair between both offenses. I think both teams could have solid years. BYU's probably got the toughest four-game stretch of any team in America to start the season. And Nebraska's got a good cupcake schedule for the most part. They still have opportunities against Michigan State and Wisconsin to at least challenge or win their division still and prove to be a solid program. But tough loss for them, but it was a great, entertaining opening weekend game at 2:30 Central slot. So I thought that, for the overall part, was the most entertaining game. It had everything you wanted to, including a thrilling and epic finish.
Exactly. I agree with you. I turned it over there, Dan, when there was 1 second to play. I didn't see any of the game until the final play. I just happened, the game I was watching went off, and I flipped it over and got to see that. So I wish I'd seen more of the game. But, hey, let's move to Virginia Tech and Ohio State. I got two questions for you. Do you think after week one that Ohio State appears to be as advertised, and what impact do you think it made when Tech's quarterback Michael Brewer broke his collarbone in the third quarter?
Yeah, I mean, what a shot he took from defensive tackle Adolphus Washington. As soon as he got hit, I was telling my dad, I think good chance. Don't like to assume anything, but it looked like the collarbone. And Michael Brewer's not that much bigger than me, and obviously everybody saw him in halftime say it's going to take a bigger couple shots to knock him out. And you know, you want a good quarterback that's got confidence, but when you're looking at the number one team, sometimes you're going to take plenty of licks that can knock you out. But I think, first off, the Buckeyes are legit. I think going into the season, I thought they were still the most talented team in the country, on paper at least. They still got to prove themselves every week when everybody who's going to attempt to give them, you know, their Super Bowl opportunity to beat Ohio State starts with Hawaii this week. But on paper, Ohio State's as good as any team. I'd make the argument they're better than every team on paper. But luckily, championships aren't good for automatic championships, so all the SEC teams out there can take a sigh of relief despite their schedule, which I know a lot of people love to talk about. But I think the game would have been within 10 points or so if Brewer would have been able to stay healthy. That was clearly the turning point, losing at halftime with the Buckeyes. I thought they would be able to regroup, but I thought it would be a little bit closer if Brewer would have been able to stay healthy. They were able to do nothing on offense because you can't really run on Ohio State. They have the fastest group of linebackers in the country, and their D-line without Bosa is still well above average. So, and they're not quite the team. The Hokies are not in terms of they could just throw eight-yard passes every play. And that's, I think, the one way to beat Ohio State, barring that you have a massive offensive line, is kind of pick them apart a little bit and spread the wealth among your receivers and tight ends to beat them. So they really had nothing going for them in terms of running backs, and without Brewer, it was tough to get by. But, yeah, they're going to have more chance to lose Ohio State, but obviously on paper they're going to be 2-plus touchdowns, more than likely in every game, barring a potential home matchup against Michigan State, second-to-last game of the regular season.
Okay. That kind of brings me to my next question. I want you to talk about Ohio State's brutal schedule or lack thereof. And do you think that's one of the weakest schedules played by a Power 5 conference team?
Yeah, I think at least going back to the BCS era in terms of nationally ranked, nationally relevant teams, Florida State didn't have exactly a tough schedule a few years ago, but they did have the Gators and Oklahoma State on a conference on top of a pretty good, darn good Clemson team that they demolished. But certainly I think it is arguably. We'll see how the season progresses because sometimes teams are worse than you thought and sometimes they're better than you thought. Even with Big Ten standards, you just don't know for sure. But on paper right now, yes, you can make the argument it is one of the easiest schedules for any AP preseason number one team, at least since the BCS era, but you could go farther back than that and make the case as well, just from the fact that, you know, the experts in the desert have been such heavy favorites. It's almost as if last year when the Broncos got to play the Jaguars at home, I believe they were almost 3-touchdown favorites. You don't see that very often in the professional level. You see it much more in college, but it's been kind of embarrassing when you look at them. This week, I believe they're favored by about 40 or so, just over 40 against Hawaii. You know, even elite teams struggle to score 40. That just goes to show how dominant the Buckeyes are on paper. But everybody's going to give them their best shot. I think they're going to kind of cruise to at least Halloween. I think November is going to be a trap. I do believe. I think they're going to lose a game for sure. Maybe too much, even for a team that's this loaded. But you know what? It's going to be a great ride for the Buckeyes, and it's going to be interesting because obviously a loss at the end of the year will obviously be the biggest talk about in college football, maybe a few seasons, because that's the potential of having them knocked out of the playoffs despite being the defending champions. Every year is different depending on who they lose and when they lose. That could really be a deciding factor.
Hey, that reminds me, Dan, I got one thing I want to throw at you right here, and you were talking about, you know, possible loss somewhere on their schedule. Let's just hypothetically say that they lose one game this year, but it's not to Michigan State, which right now is ranked number 5. It's somebody else on their schedule that beats them. Does that disqualify them from being in the 4-team playoff, in your mind?
I think it likely would, barring that it's in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think if they were somehow losing next month, potentially they could still go 12-1 and get into that 4th spot. So it would be nice to know who that is, too. If they were to lose to like a team like Hawaii when they're supposed to win by 50, I think that would, you know, the world may explode, at least social media would. But I think there's still a chance, but more than likely you'll see them lose past September if they were to lose a game. And that's why I think that would be a tough spot for the committee because there's just so many other conference champions that I think they're going to have one or less loss. A lot of people think these conference champions are going to have several losses. I just go to that happen. Certainly certain conferences like the SEC will beat up on each other, but there's not quite too many conferences that have 10 ranked teams, last time I checked. So the Big 12, ACC, even potentially the Pac-12, I think all three of those teams, those champions from those conferences, will have no more than one loss. So it would be tough to put the Buckeyes over those teams when those teams are, you know, having much more difficult schedules. So I think they are in deep trouble if they were to lose any time from kind of mid-October on.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Dan, we're talking about the teams. Give us your top 10, starting at 10, working your way down to number 1. What would Dan's top 10 look like after week 1?
Sure. I just based it off, you know, what I saw, who impressed me. I put a little bit into the T ranking and who I think the best teams are. But I would go with TCU number 10. Certainly their defense is a big-time disappointment. Their offense struggled against a solid Minnesota team that should have been at least 6 or 7 games on the road. But I got them at 10. Auburn, number 9, still was impressed with them getting the victory. But I didn't think it was the best, you know, effort, if you will. It's a Louisville team that I think is going to lose at least 4 games this year. We'll see how good that Louisville team is down the road. But offensively, Auburn and Jeremy Johnson still have lots of questions to answer in terms of throwing the ball, you know, 10-yard plus down the field. But they're still pretty loaded on paper. So Auburn 9, quickly Baylor 8, number 7, I have UCLA. Notre Dame's with an impressive beating over a Texas team that will struggle to make a bowl. Georgia 5, Florida State 4. I thought Grayson Laverick played pretty well. Defense running game was pretty good for a shortened game, per se. Florida State 4, I said Everett Golson, I thought had maybe the best performance of any new quarterback outside of maybe Baker Mayfield of Oklahoma. 3 is USC, 2 Alabama, and then number 1 Ohio State, which many people would like to see a rematch from last year, which potentially could happen in the playoff or even a non-playoff game. But those people would love, the average football fan would love to see those two teams. I think you could kind of pick your poison. But with Ohio State's impressive performance, I'd pick them 1 still. But Alabama was pretty dominant, like I expected as well.
All right.
Great. Hey, Dan, thanks for your top 10 there. Hey, take just a moment. I want you to close out last week. It's in the books. It's gone. Give us your thoughts on week 1.
Yeah, I think there's a couple under-the-radar games like the BYU-Nebraska, but overall, the grand scheme of things was all about the new quarterbacks. This is the first year of my life that I've ever seen this many quarterbacks from top 25 teams that are loaded with NFL talent, that are loaded with chances to make the college football playoff, and they all had lots of questions that I wasn't sure were going to be answered the first week, but for the most part, they all were answered. I think outside of LSU game, they're being canceled against McNeese State. Every quarterback that had a slight question mark or maybe weren't regarded as an All-American caliber had an All-American caliber of a game. That they outlined most of these teams in the top 20 didn't play anybody very relevant, but they all played very well on the games. It just goes to show that a lot of teams do have lots of talent in the top 20. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of pairing this season, obviously, and it's going to give a hell of a November. Not too many loaded games in September this year, backloaded as always, but October starts to get up a little bit, and there's a couple of great ones this weekend. So that, and of course, the SEC with 10 teams now being ranked. So those dominoes will start to fall, but I think it's going to be at least 7, potentially 8 teams within the year from the SEC that will remain ranked. I think there's only maybe 2, maybe 3 where I think they could potentially lose 4 or 5 games, which more than likely gets knocked out of the top 25. But the quarterback, and then the
FC's
had a nice week 1.
Okay. Hey, Dan, not a lot of premier games going on this week. I think most eyes will be watching Oregon, Michigan State, where the Ducks are underdogs for the first time, I think, since 2011, which is 46 games straight of being the favorite. Give us your thoughts about this game or maybe one or two others that you have interest in.
Yeah, you mentioned 46 straight for the Ducks, now coming to an end officially when they kick off on Saturday, barring some last-second major changes. Michigan State anywhere from 3 to 4 points. And I think that goes to show how tough the travel could be and how important it is to play at home in a revenge game for the Spartans. I think they didn't show anything last week that they wanted to show the Ducks, obviously, and you can make the same case for Oregon. But as bad as Michigan State's pass defense was against Western Michigan last week, Oregon's is probably 5 times worse against Eastern Washington. Vernon Adams did play tremendous. Connor Cook was pretty well, you know, against their opener as well. But this is a great superstar matchup in terms of the Ducks offense, Spartans defense. Mariota took over last year in the fourth quarter. Many forget that the game was, you know, dead heat through three quarters, essentially. I think Michigan State, you know, win battle in the trenches in the offensive line. I think they have a top three or four old line in the country. Allen Jackson or two NFL players on Sunday. So I think you're going to see Madre London, a freshman, that could have a 1,000-yard season. They're a very balanced team, Michigan State is. I think Oregon, not too far behind. But I think Vernon Adams is going to take too many looks, and he's going to have a few turnovers, which is something we didn't see last year at all. Or at any point in Mariota's career. Oregon was very opportunistic defensively because Mariota never turned it over. This Ducks team is going to be very interesting against top 20 teams this year without turning over on the road. It's hard to come by when you play top-tier teams. So I like the Spartans at home in a pretty good shootout, like a 37-31 type of game. And then quickly the other two games, LSU at Mississippi State will be a great game. I think LSU is going to load the box bag Dak Prescott to find Darius Wilson, who was a little bit in the doghouse last week, didn't see a whole lot of time on the field against Southern Miss. I think this Mississippi State team is clearly the least talented team in the West, despite being ranked. This goes to show how loaded that division is. But I think LSU and Brandon Harris slowly take the training wheels off, but they're going to feed the beats in Leonard Fournette. So I think the Bayou Bengals win by about a touchdown or so in that game. And then also, big, huge game for both programs, the Sooners and the Vols. Tennessee at home needs this game more than Oklahoma does. Despite Oklahoma, obviously, realistic chances after week one, a little bit more impressive than some anticipated from Baker Mayfield. But I think Josh Dobbs is ready to, you know, reach stardom. I think he potentially will be the best quarterback in the SEC this year. So I think the Vols get the job done, but they're going to sweat this one out for four quarters. And obviously, the Oklahoma Sooners and a couple of players have already announced that they're sick and tired of the SEC getting all the talk. And they could win this game and kind of end that discussion of, you know, is Tennessee going to be a 10-11 win team this year? I think they can maybe get to 10, win 9 in the regular season. But that's all if they win this one, the chance they lose. But I'm going to roll with the Vols. Great matchup overall for talent, two of the top 15 teams on paper in the country. So I'm going to roll with the Vols this one. But that's three big-time games, throwing BYU and Boise State. Not a terrible selection of games if you look at the top four. Not so much after that, though.
Good deal. Hey, Dan, it's time for Buy, Sell, and Hold, a segment of the show that we've came to like pretty well, and you and Ronnie both do a great job with this, so we're going to throw a few thoughts out there. If somebody's listening for the first time, I throw out an idea or a thought, and Dan and Ronnie chime in, and they say they buy, sell, or hold. Buy meaning they agree with it, believe it. Sell, they don't believe it at all. They don't want any part of it, or they get one hold per show, and this means that not sure about it. Time will tell. They're going to hold off on making a decision. So, Dan, we'll start with you. Any one of the three Ohio State quarterbacks could start on any SEC team this season.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that as of today. I think you have to buy that just for the fact that even Brad Miller did lose some weight, looked like a little faster. I think he's one of the more prolific Buckeyes ever, and clearly the other two guys, Cardale Jones and J.T. Barrett, I think would be clearly the starters. That's no disrespect towards the SEC. It just happens to be that we've never seen something like this at Ohio State before. But I think Josh Dobbs has a chance to be All-American caliber, as does Dak Prescott. But I'm going to buy that just for the fact they had more experience than these SEC teams and quarterbacks that need proven time. So it's hard to say right now, but in the year, that's a much easier case. But at the moment, I got to buy it.
Yep. I agree with Dan there. Certainly the three quarterbacks from Ohio State would start anywhere in the SEC. As we all know, the SEC is not loaded predominantly with great quarterbacks this year. You know, Dan, we heard a lot, all the hype about Jeremy Johnson, and, you know, he kind of, for lack of better word, he kind of laid an egg there with three interceptions. Maybe the only other school that might have beef with that would be Mississippi State with Dak Prescott. But I agree with you. I'm going to buy that any of the quarterbacks at Ohio State would start anywhere in the SEC.
Okay, Dan, quick question before we go to number two. What was your thought on the spin move by Braxton Miller in that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty filthy.
It was bad.
In college football. It was just amazing. I don't think Vitech saw it coming, because normally, you know, I'm not saying I could do anything better, because clearly I'm not a Division I athlete. But when he spun, the Vitech DBs, they just went back and kind of watched in amazement. They couldn't even put a finger on them, which was, I mean, an SEC defense, in my opinion, you know, and you're going to take some licks by those defenders and those defensive backs, which often go headhunting. So I would have think that if it was a better defense, they would have got him, but you don't see quite the spin move like that. So props to Brett and Miller.
No, it was sweet. All right, Ronnie, number two. If Urban Meyer runs the table, taking home a second straight national title, he should be viewed as the best coach in college football.
Well, I hate to say, but I'm holding. I'm allowed one hold, and I'm taking it. And the reason, if his schedule had any difficulty whatsoever, I would buy it. But I just can't buy it with playing one ranked opponent the entire season. So I'm just holding it, because I don't think if he was in the SEC, especially this year, I don't see any way they could run the table and go undefeated.
You're allowed one hold. You're doing like Donald Trump. You're
That's
using
right.
the law to your advantage.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I'm holding that.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this, but I just for the fact that I think it's almost impossible. We've seen it done before. To repeat. I just don't think they're going to do it. If they were to go 13-0, I would bet a penny that the SEC or a championship would knock them off in that semi or national championship game. But I would say he would be, you know, a known coach in college football, not from a career perspective. I think Nick Saban, barring that Urban Meyer's three more national championships, or at least two, I would maybe put him ahead of Nick Saban, but until that happens, I still consider Saban the best coach overall, but we're in the moment, so we rank our coaches every year. So if Meyer were to win another one, I would probably knock Saban down to two. So for that, I'll buy.
Okay. All right, Dan, back to you to start number three. Earlier we mentioned that Oregon is ending a streak of being the favorite. Alabama has now been favored, I think you said, in 69 games. Is that right? 70 this weekend?
70, yep.
All right.
Yep,
so, dating back to the 2009 SEC Championship, with that said, the streak will end this season. Alabama will be underdogs before the end of regular season.
I'm going to sell that. I probably would have bought it a few weeks ago, maybe, because of how Alabama played against Wisconsin, living up to the hype that myself thought they were. I'm going to sell that. I think they're going to be slight favorites against Georgia just for the sake, because I think the general public will act if they're underdogs, and I think that will change by kickoff. So you could write me down, I think Georgia will be 2-point underdogs at home in a few weeks to Alabama. You said regular season. I think they'll still be favored in the SEC title. Potentially, Bama would be an underdog to maybe Ohio State in the playoff, but for the regular season, that was the question. I'll sell that. I still think they're going to be favored all the way till December.
Okay. Ronnie?
I could not have said it any better. I think I'll sell that as well. I think Bama will be favored in every game. The closest one, as what Dan said, would be the Georgia game.
All right. Moving on to number four, back to you, Ronnie. Georgia won't lose a game to any team in the Eastern Division.
I would buy that. I think they're substantially better. I know Tennessee should be improved. And maybe South Carolina, but I'm buying that. I don't think there's anybody in the East that can beat Georgia.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, I agree. I'm buying as well. I think they go 6-0. Many forget that while Georgia does host Bama, Tennessee hosts Arkansas that same week, and of course the next week Georgia goes down to Rocky Top. So they could both have losses going into the game. Of course, that would come with a West competition. So I think Georgia 6-0 in the East. I'm buying that as well.
Okay. Now back to you again. Staying in the SEC, Dan, no team in the SEC West will make it through the regular season undefeated.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that. I think there's going to be several 2-3 loss teams. I think somebody more than likely Bama will have one loss going into the SEC championship game. So regular season, I'm buying that. I don't think anybody runs the table. Not saying capable. I think Alabama certainly is. It's just tough because, for example, I think by far has the toughest schedule in America, so I'll buy it as well.
All right, Ronnie.
Okay. I'm with Dan. I'm going to buy that. I don't see any way the West can, anybody can come out of the West and be undefeated, but I think it'll be Alabama with one loss.
All right. We'll discuss that later.
Of course.
Number six. Back to you, Ronnie. If Ohio State were in the SEC West, they would suffer at least one regular season loss.
Buying that, no questions whatsoever.
You're buying a truckload.
Absolutely. One, and I would probably say they would lose two games anyway.
Okay.
So Dan, I'm buying it.
Ronnie has bought it up.
Yeah, I'm going to buy as well. So I think I've bought everyone but one. I think there will be at least two losses. I should say at least one loss, potentially two for the Buckeyes, depending on where these games at or home. Obviously, sometimes changes that. But if they had Alabama, I bet you they lose two games. So regardless, they lose more than zero. I'm going to buy.
Okay, fair enough. Last one, back to you, Dan. Alabama and Auburn both win a minimum of 10 games in the regular season.
New word, regular season. So I'm going to sell. I think Bama wins at least 10, more than likely 11. I had Auburn at 9. I'm sticking to it. It didn't help that Jeremy Johnson didn't play too well, as we like to say, in the opener. I certainly think he's capable of improving. We'll know quickly. I think we'll know next weekend. If Auburn loses at LSU, I think you could book three losses. But and then I'll gladly eat some crow for you guys. But I'm going to sell that regular season. I think Auburn realistically goes 9-3. Bama probably 11-1. But obviously Auburn has the opportunity to change that in the coming weeks. So I'm going to sell though for now.
Okay. Ronnie?
Hey, I'm on the Dan train. I'm selling it too for the exact same reasons.
All right.
Pretty simple.
Fair enough. Y'all pretty much matched up today. Ronnie took a hold on Urban Meyer,
yeah,
and everything else matched up perfectly. So, almost great minds think alike, or Alabama fan, you know, I don't know.
I just followed Dan. He's a great mind.
Hey, Dan, we appreciate it once again this week. Man, it's been a blast, and I know it's time for you to start getting home, getting ready. The question is, are you going to watch Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech, or you'll be watching the Patriots and the Steelers tonight?
Yeah, I'm watching the Patriots and Steelers, but I may go back and forth. Those commercials, I'm not a big fan of those.
Yeah.
So I could DVR it and look at it tomorrow or later tonight, but I'll probably take a look because it's potentially, you could see, you know, 65, 70 points, so it should be a better performance than we saw Western Kentucky have last week against Andy. More points tonight, but I'll be watching NFL as well.
Okay, good deal, Dan. Have yourself a great weekend and a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy your week.
Thanks,
right.
Dan.
All right, Dan Vasta, Campus Insider, joins
Dan
us
man,
this week.
Buddy.
And as we said, the Book of Knowledge.
Book of Knowledge.
I mean, he knows every stat, every weather condition,
that's
you name
right.
it. All right, 5:27, about 3 minutes away from Rex Chambers will be talking with us, putting fish in the boat. Until then, I'm going to take a quick break. Stay with us, Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off.
If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Hey, Coleman. Live 95's first birthday bash back in April with our Battle of the Bands event was so successful, we've teamed up with the Cullman County Fair to do it again. Come join Live 95 and the Cullman Lions Club in the entertainment tent at the Cullman County Fair on Saturday, September 26th. As usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate. We don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Cullman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95cullman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today and stay tuned for more information on the Live 95 Battle of the Bands rematch. Sponsored by the Cullman County Fair. Live in the entertainment tent on Saturday, September 26th. In the meantime, tune into Live 95 on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. to hear each band's music set from our event in May. We'll do one set a week leading up to the event. Thanks for listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Sports Talk Live, 531, got Jessica on the line. I understand wants to take a shot at Moolah. Jessica, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing great, doing great. Where are you calling from, Jessica?
Coleman.
Coleman, all right. So give us a shot at where you think Moolah may be heading out. We need to round that old cow up.
Is it at Goldenrod?
You got it. Jessica, you are a $50 winner, so congratulations. If you will stay on the line, Jay will get the information, and we will either tell you where to pick the money up or get you a check in the mail, whatever would be your choice. So,
okay, thank you.
Congratulations, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right. Jessica, a winner, Ronnie. She's taking home. She's
$50
the old mooted. Mooted.
Mooted.
The mooted cow.
There you go.
the old spotted cow. Moolah.
That's right. Congratulations, Jessica.
Moolah and spotted and all that mixed up.
Hey, but congratulations to Jessica. $50 richer.
Yeah, and Jessica, I'm not sure. She sounded pretty young, so I imagine she can spend that $50 pretty fast.
I don't think there'll be any problem with that.
And she was a female, so we know she could spend $50.
She may be doing a little shopping, you think?
Well, she got $50 more.
That's right.
Compliments of People's Bank.
That's right.
Made that possible. So.
Yeah. Good for her.
5:32. Rhett will be joining us here in just a second. And
like clockwork.
Hopefully that's him. be talking about the old spotted bass.
That's it.
The old spotted cow.
Right.
So.
Put another fish in the boat.
That's it.
This guy right here can do it for us. So.
I moved over on the lake, run and quit fishing. Never heard anything like that.
That's a crazy thing.
That's like moving to a football field and quit watching the games.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, Rex, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Good evening.
I got to ask you one thing before I turn it over to Ronnie and let him talk fishing. What did you think about Jeremy Johnson and the color blindness?
I am so sick at hearing how bad Jeremy Johnson.
Boy, you better be glad you're not around Ronnie.
You only hear it from one or two fan bases, but hey, the kid is still an awesome player. He made two bad throws. Now, you realize that first interception was a bad route. He threw it as it was a sit-down spot route, and he threw it where the receiver was supposed to be, and he wasn't there.
Well, a receiver can make you look bad.
But now the other two were just horrible throws, and, you know, trying to do too much or too little. Hey, the kid's still going to be awesome. Everybody remember, Cam Newton didn't have an 11 completion this first game.
That's right. That's right. They done a comparison the other night on a show I was watching, very similar to, in fact, Cam may have been a little bit worse.
Well, he didn't throw three interceptions. I think he was like 11 for, I don't know, 16 or 17 or something. And but, hey, if you pay attention, the long bomb that was called back for Oldham, you can't make a prettier
pass. Oh, no. No, it was right on the money.
I have zero worries that he is going to be an awesome QB on the plane.
Rich, you make me feel better. So with that, I'm going to let you go fishing.
Rich has been out in the sun way too long today.
I'm willing to put one of those snake beds.
Money's giving them out, Rich.
He finishes the season with less INTs than all the Bama quarterbacks combined and more yardage.
How about that?
I'll take that.
All right. Hey, Runny is going to have to buy a cow for this. He's going to be buying
a cow. She's going to be gone because I'm going to have to take over the processor.
You better hope you find the one at $800 to $800.
That's exactly right. Hey, Riggs, did you hear that story about a buddy of mine who lost his wallet? This is a true story, and then we'll get into something important fishing. Did you hear this story?
Sure.
I had a buddy of mine, he has a cattle farm, and he was out checking his cows sitting up on the fence, went to a cattle sale and somewhere else and got to figure out that his billfold was missing. He tracked it back to when he was sitting up on the fence. It falls into the pasture with the cows. He had 8 $100 bills in there, and they ate them.
Oh,
they chewed his wallet up and ate his $100 bills.
Hey, that's an
$100
beat.
You got that right. I would be having me plenty of steaks out of that if I knew which one.
My money's worth out of it.
Exactly right. Hey, Rich, did you fish today?
No, I didn't. I had the JLB thing I had to do most of the day
today.
So.
I got you. What's
84 days and counting.
84 until it's all over. Oh, man. I'm looking. I know you're looking forward to it. And hey, we're excited for you. So, and appreciate what you've done and continue to do with the job that you do. So, you guys don't get enough respect and acknowledgement from folks, but we appreciate you very much.
Well, I appreciate that, but, it's 25 years, I'm ready.
Yeah, ready for something else.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, hey, what's going on the lakes?
Oh, well, water temp's kind of boosting up a little bit, we had a cool down. It's warmed back up. Hopefully next week, I think we got some highs in the upper 70s.
Exactly. I think some lows.
Some
lows maybe down around 50 or maybe in the high 40s.
Right. I know up Georgia way had some nice cool weather mornings the last this last few days. So that'll be 2 weeks before we know it. So it's going to be once it cools off just a little bit more. I mean, I'm sitting here in my truck with no AC. I need a Chevy mechanic, by the way. And it's sitting here on 91. Of course, I'm in a parking lot.
Right.
So you know, it ain't cooled off a whole lot.
Exactly. So, Rex, when that cooling trend does come, as it will next week or supposed to, will that change some strategies about how guys and gals need to fish?
Well, it will. I mean, these fish are trying to get on their fall patterns real hard. I mean, Smith Lake's been on a really good topwater bite the last couple of weeks, but it slowed down this week. And it'll pick right back up as soon as that water temp drops another 3, 4, 5 degrees. And so right now, this week, a little bit of a change. You got to go a little bit deeper, little jig, little crankbait. The topwater bite is still good in the morning, but it quits really quick as soon as that sun gets up and gets that surface temp warm. So you gotta change tactics a little bit. The river's the same way. The river, beautiful fish are just, they're chomping. I mean, they don't care about this warm water. They're in the grass and they're feeding. And it's been, we want to turn around Sunday with like a little over 21 pounds. So they're feeding pretty good. But no, we didn't catch a lot of fish, but what we did catch was good fish.
Now, is this a tournament out of Waterfront that you were talking about last week?
That was a Sunday tournament, yes.
Okay.
First Sunday every month out of Waterfront.
And you guys won that one?
Yeah, we won the last three, so I'm our numbers are going to dwindle off.
Now, correct me, I believe you kind of sponsor this tournament, or are you headed up?
Well, I just run it. I'm just tournament director of it. And, you know, I'm making it an open tournament, so anybody can fish it.
Right.
The majority of the weekend tournaments nowadays on Gunnersville, they restrict guides and pros and stuff like that. And this is anybody wants to come fish, can come fish. Gunnersville Smith Lake said, a horse of a different hue. The people on Gunnersville scared to death that a guide or a pro will come take their weekend money from them in a tournament. And the people on Smith, they don't care. They ain't cared for years. They say, come on, one and all, because we can beat you. I like that on Smith Lake.
Exactly.
You know, that's right. A lot of the tournaments coming to Gunnersville are restriction tournaments, too. No guides, no pros. Sprogue Frog tournaments, the Oakley Big Bass tournament. They won't let anybody fish that's ever fished in a professional tournament in like 5 years. You know, and I understand why, because you know they get 300 to 500 boats in them.
Right.
And that would run, you know, if you let some of the pros or something come in, it would run off to other people that don't want to fish against them because they have zero confidence in their ability.
I got you. Hey, Riggs, I want to go back to something you mentioned a minute ago. Maybe I misunderstood. You was talking about water temp changing and that affecting Smith Lake. Did you say that water temp really doesn't come into play that much at Gunnersville?
Not this time of year. Like I said, the fish move from deep water, which is cooler, to shallow water, which is 92 degrees this time of year. And it's because the bait moved from deep to shallow, and it's all because of the time of year. Don't matter what the weather's doing.
Okay.
You know, those fish know, hey, it's September 1st. We're supposed to be in the grass.
Right.
And they start making that move.
And this may be a question no one knows the answer to is, why do the bait fish move from cooler water up into hot water?
I've never asked them. They don't talk to me.
They don't talk to you. Nope. You just try to find them on the graph, don't you?
I just know when I find them, I find them fast. So.
Exactly.
But anyway, you know, it's just like I said, it's fall. Fish move the bass to the grass because the bait's there, the brim's there, the small shad, the big shad. I found a batch of grass the other day that had a pound and a quarter shad running in it.
My goodness.
And, of course, they were there because there were no bass eating on them. So.
Right.
I didn't catch one anywhere.
Right.
But it's just, like I said, sometimes it's just the time of year and it's not the weather. I mean, the fish know that this is the time of year when we need to start heading to the grass, and that's what they do.
I got you. Well, hey, I want to take you over on the west side, a little bit over around the Florence area, and if we can for just a second, then we'll work our way back. Over on Pickwick, or Wilson, have you been over there lately, or have you heard any reports of what's going on that way, you know, how the fishing is?
I haven't been. I'll be on Pickwick at least three times this month. I have two trips scheduled on Pickwick toward the end of the month, but it's all current dependent.
Yeah.
The largemouth are being caught. Actually, the largemouth are being caught downriver a little piece in the grass around 7 Mile Island. Big bullsheds are taking some good catches right now. I haven't been. I'm going on reports that I see.
Right.
And when they are running some current at the dam, there's some smallmouth being caught. And that's what I'm hoping on around about 2 weeks from today when I'll be there for a couple of trips.
Right.
But been at Wheeler a couple of days. Wheeler is on fire. We have the Alabama Bass Trail Championship will be there the second weekend in October. And so I've been up there looking around. The bass are really good. Not catching a lot of 4, 5, 6 pounders, but you can catch all the 3, 3.5 pound fish you want.
Numbers,
right. Yeah, it's just fun right now. It'll change. Once the water cools off a little bit, the bigger fish start biting a little better.
Right.
But right now, it's a numbers days.
Gotcha. Hey, I've got another question up that area, talking about smallmouth. Is their bite dependent on current being pulled as well?
Smallmouth are always pretty much current dependent. You know, there are times of years where just all the fish are eating. But this time of year, and especially during hot summertime, you've got to have the current for the smallmouth to really get turned on. Now, yeah, you can go catch one or two or three during the day.
Right.
But when that current's rolling, when they're pushing 40,000, a day, you can really go up there and catch a ton of big smallmouth.
Okay, let me ask you a question that has really, it's not about, you know, a lure or a rod or a reel or anything, but when we talk about fishing up, you know, kind of close to the dam, whether it's over there or it's at Gunnersville, can you give us, if somebody's wanting to go fish, say they're below the dam, knows nothing about it, give them some tips to keep them safe, because you can get yourself in a world of hurt if you don't know what's going on.
Well, number one thing is you don't anchor in current. I see people do it all the time, especially cat fishermen and bottom fishermen. I'll throw an anchor out in that heavy current. And if you know what you're doing, you can do that.
Right.
But if water's rising, you know, if you know what the water's doing, it's safe. But if you don't, and they're actually raising the water really fast,
right,
you're going to run out of rope eventually. and that's going to take the nose of your boat down. And all it's got to do is just down just a little bit in that heavy current, and all of a sudden you've lost your boat and you're headed down the river. But as far as being safe running, if the water's high, the water's at normal level, and they're running current, well, if they're running current, that means the water's up, the water's up pretty good. And either dam, at Wilson or Pitwick Dam, Wheeler or Gunnersville Dam, you can run pretty much all the way up to where the turbines are and still be pretty safe. There's not a lot of bad spots. But the number one thing that I see people do wrong is people don't know what they're doing. They throw an anchor out and try to stay because it's aggravating.
Right.
It hurts. You're trying to fish and you're trying to run a trolling motor. The thing about it is I drift a lot when I'm hunting smallmouth. I'll run up with a big motor, shut it down, and I won't even put a trolling motor down.
Right.
Let the current drift me back down and crank the big motor up and go back up and do it again. I mean, I've fished days on Pitwick where I've cranked my big motor probably 200 times.
Right.
And just run up and down and that's, but when I'm doing that, though, it's a fun day. Because once you do it six or seven times and you haven't caught any fish, you quit.
Yeah.
But when you're cranking that motor all day, you know you're catching some fish.
Exactly. My next question, then we'll move this way, and you can give us some lure selections, those kind of things. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm almost positive I'm not. If you're fishing below the dam and you're running up there, within so many feet of that dam, you got to keep that life jacket on all the time, correct?
800
feet.
800, and the rule of thumb is once you see a sign that says turbulent waters,
yeah,
you better have your life jacket on from there on up.
Okay. Okay.
So any time you're within 800 feet of the dam, you think about 800 feet, that's, you know, almost 3 football fields.
Right.
So, any time you've got to have it on and zipped up, attached.
Now, if somebody forgets to put it on, takes it off, whatever else, game warden busts you, what are you looking at?
Oh, you're looking at $200 fine.
$200 fine, not for having a life jacket on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's about like not having your fishing license.
That's about the same.
When it's $13.
There you go. Cost you $13, spend $200.
Exactly. You just have to take the gamble. Okay, Rex, move us towards Smith. I know you mentioned jigs, maybe with a hot the water temp being warm. Just give us a few lures we might could, put an extra fish in the boat. Maybe a color, yeah, too.
If I'm out there right now, just picking up if I'm out there in the morning at daylight, I'm picking up a Lucky Craft Sammy. Biggest one I can find, running over the long points anywhere on the lake and hoping to get a big spot to come up. And once the sun gets up a little bit and the water starts warming up, I get around the boathouse, just throwing a jig or even swimming a jig right now. Those largemouth are getting out of the sun, getting up on those boathouses in the down trees, and they're biting pretty good too. And if I can't stand the heat, I'm still out there at night throwing spinnerbait. There's still lots of people catching good fish on spinnerbaits after dark.
Right. Okay. Line size, what are you fishing with at Smith?
Average. Throwing top water, don't matter how big. You know, I keep mine on 20-pound test all the time on all my top water baits. But if I'm throwing a jig, you know, I'm throwing 12, 15-pound fluorocarbon line on a jig and just swimming a jig right on the docks.
Okay. That's Smith. Talk to us about Gunner for a minute, and then we'll let you go.
65-pound braid, 1.25-ounce jig, and the thickest grass you can find.
And then hang on.
Hang on.
I got you, Rex. Hey, before we let you go, tell folks if they want to book a trip with you, where they can contact you or how they can contact you and, get lined up for you to take them fishing.
Email at rex@smithlakebass.com or find me on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing.
You got it. Hey, thanks, Rex. We appreciate it, bud.
All right.
All right. All right. Be safe. There you have it, guys. There you have it, Jason and gals.
That's it.
Rex can help you put another fish in a boat, yeah, and if you don't have a boat, he can put you in a boat.
And he can save you money on paying fines.
That's exactly right.
I never realized that we were about the life jacket.
Yeah, so I knew you had to have one on. So if you're going to fish around a dam, if you're within 800 feet of that dam, Rex says you better have that life jacket on. If you don't, it's going to cost you $200.
All right. Take us to a break.
All right. It is 5:49. We have 10 minutes left. We'll take a short break here. We will be right back in the show here on a Thursday afternoon, one day closer to the weekend.
Amen.
Here we are on Live 95.
In New Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Montgomery police looking for suspects after a deadly shooting. Cops responding to a shots fired call last night found one person dead on the scene on East Shirley Lane. The victim identified as 20-year-old Daniel McCall Jr. A former principal at a Huntsville school is wanted for theft. Cops looking for Phyllis McGee, the former Hampton Cove Elementary School principal. She was fired 4 years ago due to claims that included fraud. In 2013, her ex-husband was gunned down outside their home just a week after their divorce. McGee accused of taking $2,000 from a wallet forgotten by another patron at a Walmart located on University Drive. That wallet later returned without the cash. McGee identified by numerous people after surveillance footage on the theft aired on WAFF. A number of remembrance ceremonies taking place across Alabama Friday, September 11th, the 14th anniversary of the terror attacks on America. Ceremonies include the Patriot Day commemoration in Homewood. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The dismissal and replacement of a juror for personal reasons today, delaying a verdict in the federal trial of Madison police officer Eric Parker. Deliberations beginning anew this morning after an alternate took place of a juror who left the federal courthouse in Huntsville. Parker accused of using excessive force and violating a man's civil rights while investigating a suspicious person call in February. A Birmingham woman pleads guilty to stealing her grandmother's Social Security benefits more than 20 years after she died. 41-year-old Wendy Baldwin sentenced to 6 months behind bars and will also have to serve 6 months in home detention and must pay restitution to the Social Security Administration. An Auburn middle school principal facing a theft charge for shoplifting from an Opelika store. 51-year-old Sandra Johnson Risa accused of taking an 8-foot HDMI cable from the Best Buy at Tigertown. It's worth about $40. Risa, the principal of J.F. Drake Middle School in Auburn. Great news at the gas pump across Alabama. Many stations reporting $2 or lower per gallon of gas. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
All time on our Alabama beaches means cooler weather and great events and festivals. Join 250,000 friends at the 44th National Shrimp Festival, October 8th through the 11th on Gulf Shores Public Beach. Enjoy music, arts, crafts, and of course, lots and lots of shrimp. From November 5th through the 15th, the Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival runs at multiple locations. It's your best chance to hear all genres of music, the stories behind the songs, and hear them performed as they were originally written. The Hangouts Oyster Cook-Off and Craft Beer Weekend then joins us November 6th and 7th in Gulf Shores, with local and regional restaurants vying for your vote for best prepared oyster, plus cooking demos by celebrity chefs, including Ann Burrell. No one leaves hungry. Come and join more than 60 craft beers and a full music lineup, including Lennon and Maisie of ABC's Nashville. Right after Thanksgiving, on November 28th, the Coastal Half Marathon offers the best way to burn off holiday calories in Orange Beach. Runners race the half marathon, a 5K run, or a 1 mile fun run. Visit our calendar of events at gulfshores.com to learn more. We hope to see you at the beach.
In Money News, a Trustville company recalls nearly 7,000 tractor-trailer hitches, according to documents posted today by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Fontaine Fifth Wheel bowing to government pressure after a crash on an Ohio roadway last year. A 12-ton semi-trailer came loose from its tractor, plowed into oncoming traffic near Cincinnati, killing two people. Fontaine says in documents filed with the agency, the hitch locking mechanisms can be damaged over time by truck operators who do not follow proper coupling and maintenance procedures. Government workers in Bayou La Batre could face furloughs or layoffs. City officials considering the move to trim about $200,000 from its payroll.
All right, back with you. 5:53 on a Thursday afternoon. About to close it out for the week and get ready for some football. Real quick, Ronnie, we got several things we got to take care of. Eddie was on the line, but has agreed to call back Tuesday so we can finish this thing up and get home and watch some football.
Well, that's exactly right. Hey, here, let's go over the high school games real quick, Jason. I called them out earlier, but we're going to make our picks now. Cold Springs playing at home against Tanner.
All right, Cold Springs is going to go down, and this one, Ronnie, it's going to be 38-13. Tanner.
38-13. I'm also going to take Tanner, and I'm going to say it's going to be, 32-10. That's all my right. pick. Fairview plays at Boaz.
Fairview at Boaz. Boaz wins this one 27-6.
All right. I'm also going to have to go with Boaz. I say that will be 21-7. Coleman at Florence.
Coleman at Florence. I don't know about Florence, but I'm going to go with Coleman. They're on the road. Okay. Coleman wins this one 20-14.
20-14. I'm going to go with Florence. Even though they're 0-2, I'm going to go with them, and I'm going to say they're going to win 28-17. Vinemont-Hantsville.
Vinemont and Hantsville. Vinemont going to get the win this week.
All right.
23-20.
A close one. I'm also going to go with Vinemont. I'm going to say it's going to be, that's a good score. I like that.
Join me on that.
I'm going to join you. I'll take the exact score. 23-20 Vinemont over Hantsville. Holly Pond at Collinsville.
Holly Pond at Collinsville, Ronnie, you know my old saying. Until they win, I can't pick them. So, Collinsville wins this one 27-6.
27-6. I'm also going to go with Collinsville. I say it will be 21-8. West Point at Ardmore. Home against Ardmore.
West Point Ardmore. This is a tough game for me to call, but I'm going to go with the West Point Warriors.
All right.
And it's going to be 14-7.
Close ball game.
Yep.
All right. I'm going West Point as well. I'm going to say it's going to be high scoring. I'm going to say West Point 35, Ardmore 31.
All right.
That's my pick.
And you're sticking to it.
And I'm sticking to it.
Now let's hit the OSCC.
Yeah, I'll go quickly as I can. Jason, I'm going to have to scan through these. We certainly know we'll start off in respect to you. I will start with Auburn first against Jacksonville State.
Auburn wins this one, Ronnie, 38-6.
38-6.
Not covering the new points for
you. Okay. You can give us a score. I'll just give you who I think will win. I think Auburn certainly wins that ball game. Next one, Alabama and Middle Tennessee.
Alabama wins 48-3.
All right. I'm also taking Alabama, but I'm also saying it will be less than the 35 points. So take the point.
Take the points.
Take the points. Okay. That's my pick. All right. LSU against Mississippi State.
LSU, I think, is going to win this one, Ronnie. It's going to be close, 24-20.
Okay. I'm taking LSU as well. Vandy and Georgia.
Georgia in a blowout. 42-6.
All right. I'm with you. I'm taking Georgia. Ole Miss, and I think that's Fresno State, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Ole Miss, 38-17.
All right. I'm taking Ole Miss as well. Arkansas and Toledo.
Arkansas, 35-10.
All right. And I'm taking Arkansas as I'm on that Arkansas bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, you are a Razorback.
I've been on it for a year, and I'm now going on 2 years. So I'm certainly taking Arkansas. Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Tennessee and Oklahoma. This is going to be a tough one, but
yeah.
Listen to this score. Oklahoma 21, Tennessee 20.
I hear you. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think it's going to be close, but I'm taking...
I hope you're right.
I'm taking Tennessee to win it. Texas A&M, and I believe that's Ball State.
Texas A&M 52, Ball State 13.
All right. And as I'm scanning here, I'm trying to come up with a couple more. I don't have any more on there. So,
all right.
We're out of time anyway. So
take those plays to the bank.
That's right. Listen on demand and place your bets accordingly.
That's right. Yeah, don't forget on demand. And congratulations again to Jessica being our moving on winner. And go spend it wisely.
Right.
Until Tuesday, Ronnie, big War Eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide.
We'll see you next week, folks. Be sure to join us. We'll be talking college football. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. We're gone for the week.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.